Drive with Laura Chilingirian on ABC Radio Canberra.
How often do you back up your photos? Once a week? Once a year? Hardly ever. In this day and age of digital technology, it's pretty important to keep copies of your memories and often the original versions, things like old photographs, video recordings, newspaper articles, don't tend to stand the test of time. Well, today is World Digital Preservation Day, and Canberra is home to an amazing range of institutions which restore, preserve, and exhibit our nation's collective memories. And with me on Drive to talk more about it is Libor Sofal, who is Assistant Director of Digital Preservation at the National Library of Australia. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And Meg Labram, who is National Film and Sound Archives General Manager of Collections and Access. Hi there, Meg.
Hi.
Now, Meg, I might start with you. Why is digital preservation so important?
Well, basically, I mean, as we all know, we are digital. We're digital creatures now. The future is digital. And, I mean, I always have the ironic situation with the National Film and Sound Archive Collection that we've got a fabulous more than a century's worth of analogue film and sound recordings collected, and they're wonderful, but now they're actually inaccessible. So digital preservation means the collection survives, but also hopefully at the touch of a finger or an eyelid in the future, you'll be able to access them.
And what about the National Library, Libor?
The National Library has a large collection of digital content that basically goes back as far as the 1980s, and it's really, really big. It's billions of files. And as Max said, the files often don't last. So if we want to make sure that our users who come in 20, 30 years from now on will be able to actually access the collections, we have to actively take care of them.
How difficult is the process at the National Library of slowly digitising all of that? And how long might it possibly take? Is this a never-ending task?
Well, it's probably not never-ending. I think that what we see now is actually shift to things already being created as digital. So I think it's more about us actually gradually, instead of collecting physical things, collecting more already digital created things. In terms of the digitization, some things have to be digitized because they basically decay, and also we're losing the replay mechanism. So you would know about it. It's mainly the audio and visual
stuff. That's it, isn't it? Because
yeah,
you might still have the item there in perfect working order, but if you don't have anything to play it on,
what's the
point?
Exactly.
And I suppose another part of that is, again, in the audiovisual area, the engineers, the people who can actually maintain the equipment, because you might still have the equipment, but if it's not working or you need some of that magic to put the plugs back together or whatever, we're estimating that probably by, you know, the mid-20s, that last generation of the engineers who have been specialists in that area are really retiring. I won't say dying out, but, you know, moving on to another stage of life.
Yeah. So we're losing the knowledge, the know-how, basically.
Yeah.
That's so incredible. Yes, it's things like that you don't think of, but there are young people nowadays who, you know, don't know what to do with an old-fashioned telephone, for example. Like so I guess it's a matter of we've got all this incredible information in our heads, but
I know I always had the story, Laura, of children who were they were disgusted by vinyl records because they weren't complete. And they had no concept about turning the record over. I mean, that sounds a bit extreme, but, you know, it happens.
It's funny. I had a Mark Opitz in the studio recently, and I've still got the old turntable sitting in the corner here. We set it up especially because he brought in his old vinyls and played some songs, and the listeners loved it. They really enjoyed hearing the songs on vinyl. But how difficult is that? I mean, especially with the National Film and Sound Archives collection, mm-hmm. Meg, it's vital. How vital is it to transfer all of this to digital? Because this is a big project that Jan Muller is keen on getting done.
And Jan sends his best from beyond these shores. Look, basically, it's essential. As I said before, if we don't have the material digitised, then really for the publics, the users, the general public, the producers, whatever, they're going to go elsewhere because now expectations are so much about instant delivery. At the same time, we're also still committed to being able to present material in the form that it originally came. So just as with Mark and with vinyl records being played, there are subtle but real differences, and for people to be able to experience both is really important. But in terms of the pressure, we've been talking for a while now about what we're calling Deadline 2025, which is about magnetic tape material, which again, ABC would be very familiar with. Based on the issues about engineers dying out, the equipment dying off, the tapes themselves potentially becoming increasingly fragile, there is a window, and it's a viable window, to be able to digitise as much of that material as we can, and hopefully that's everything. But, you know, by say 2030, it's going to be far less feasible to do. So this is, again, this is the magnificent efforts that not just the National Film and Sound Archive, but the ABC, the National Archives, IATSIS, whoever, are doing in collecting material and caring for it. We're looking to hopefully band together so that with the benefits of sort of the mass of our capacity, our resources and so on, we'll be able to pump it out and deliver it.
My guests here on ABC Radio Canberra Drive are Meg Labram, she is the National Film and Sound Archives General Manager of Collections and Access, and Libor Sofal, who is Assistant Director of Digital Preservation at the National Library of Australia. Libor, what sort of things are being preserved digitally?
So the National Library collects a variety of things, both in physical and digital formats. People, I think, often don't appreciate what the variety actually is. So, you know, when you say library, people often think books and maybe journals, but we all collect all sorts of weird and wonderful things. In the digital space, we in addition to books and journals, we also collect a lot of photographic material, right. Websites, maps, musical scores. We have personal archives of important people, such as politicians, artists, and so on.
Some crucial stuff that we really do need to be able to keep forever.
Yeah, as well as actually audiovisual stuff. So we have a lot of oral histories, recordings, interview with people from all walks of life, basically Australians that you know, have interesting stories to tell.
Something I also think of when I think of libraries, especially from, you know, high school and growing up and going to the State Library of New South Wales, is newspapers. That's a really important thing to digitally preserve, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah. And we're doing actually a lot in terms of digitizing newspapers because, as Meg said, you know, that's the expectation now, but also because not everyone lives near Canberra. And so we want to actually be able to give people who live in the remote areas or you know, on the other end of Australia, actually the opportunity to have access to that material as well. And so we basically digitize in all the trying to digitize all that content that's freely available, that's, you know, out of copyright, basically, and that will increasingly, you know, include then, you know, newer and newer material as the copyright expires.
I guess that's also what it comes down to, is accessibility, isn't it, Meg? Because not only can people access it from remote parts of Australia, but they can access it from anywhere in the world.
Well, exactly. And I mean, expectations and actual practice now for people is that they require to be able to go online to, with a relatively simple sort of search, find whatever it is they're after, to then be able to, if they need to negotiate, you know, getting copies or whatever, to be able to do that. We're not totally there yet, I hasten to say, but the whole digitisation push now is all about, from national collecting institutions down, is about being able to deliver and serve the way that the public is actually demanding. And I think it's one of those really important things, Laura, because with all of the talk about digitisation, a part of what we do, there's the front end about delivering, but there's the back end, which is all about the actual preservation, which is what today is about, and maintaining these lossless master files, which can then migrate into whatever the future of digital is going to look like. So it sounds like the dull end, but it's actually one of the really critical ones, so that we can continue to deliver. And I know, I mean, I'm one of the ones who in my simpler days would have thought, well, just being able to scan something, I've digitised it and everything is saved. But that's literally, it's the final point, not the beginning.
Oh, and you have to back it up and back it
back
up.
Back up, back up, back up.
Now, you've both, I understand, been at this seminar today. No, you haven't? Okay, but Libor, you have, right?
Yes.
So this seminar has been looking at digital preservation. What did you learn about how it is expanding around the world and how it's being used?
Well, this was, I think, more about Australian experiences.
Right.
And it was, I think, focused more on actually sharing information with the institutions who are just starting.
We're pretty well ahead of the pack, aren't we?
Yeah. I think it was interesting because it's been already a couple of decades since, you know, we as cultural institutions all around the world started to seriously think about the issue of how do we actually preserve the content for long time, for long term. And so we're starting now, we're starting to get into phase where we have some of the processes well under control, but we're also starting to reflect of what we've done in the past and if it's actually working, given the, you know, huge amount of the content that's actually out there and that we need to preserve, and whether it's scalable, manageable, whether we actually need to rethink what we do, why we do it, and stuff like that. And so that seemed to be a focus a lot of the seminar today, actually.
Oh, I can't imagine the workload that it is to be able to do that. Because I always look at my emails, for example, and I think to myself, one day I would just like to have 2 weeks off where I could just spend two full weeks just going through emails. You just never have enough time
these days.
Maybe a bit more. I think it's worse for my producer, Jamie Travis. He doesn't even check his emails. So his ears just perked up. Are there things that can't be digitised?
I would say, I'm looking at the technical expert here, I would say in audiovisual terms, no. One way or another, we would work on digitising, being able to digitise everything. But some things are far more difficult than others. So, I mean, I'm just thinking probably wire recordings might be one of the things that we'd have to get our head around. Really fragile film and sound is probably where our biggest challenges come. Mm. And that's where, you know, being able to do it in-house with all of the right equipment and care is our biggest challenge.
And Libor, what's the challenge?
There's a lot we can digitize, and we now start in some institutions are starting to look even into, you know, 3D digitization and stuff like that. So museums do, you know, scanning of objects so that they can then actually be, you know, rotated and viewed from 360 degrees and stuff like that. So there's a lot we can do. But I think we often, you know, forget about the thing that I said that has already been born as digital and doesn't have any physical counterpart. And there are a lot of challenges about what we can actually collect. Things like Facebook, for example, or Twitter. These are real challenges.
Sure, of course. Half the time, if you just refresh, you can't find the last thing that you were looking at.
And we're looking at things like games and VR and AI now, which are fascinating and essential. The issues about how you'd actually maintain them is another whole kettle of fish again.
Digital art.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of digital performances that actually require a lot of equipment and also, you know, the artist intentions basically to be recreated if you then want to, you know, replicate that performance 20 years later. And and that's a real challenge too.
Really interesting stuff. Well, fascinating to learn a little bit about it on a World Digital Preservation Day. Thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Libor Sofal, who is Assistant Director of Digital Preservation at the National Library of Australia, and Meg Labram, NFSA's General Manager of Collections and Access.